Open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 20. We'll understand it all by and by. That's good, because I sure don't understand it now, do you? Oh, my soul, what confusing days, you know. That's for sure. I want to preach to you on something. I really, be honest with you, I don't understand why it's this way either, all right? So if you would there, Matthew chapter 20. We're going to begin reading there in verse 1. The Bible said, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." I'm going to leave off reading there. This is really a parable that the Lord has put in the Word of God that deals with the kingdom of heaven. And I remind you that parables, all right, are stories that our Lord told, but they're stories that he told to use to teach truths, all right? A lot of great truths are more easily taught if you can put it in a story form, and that's what he did for us. In type, this parable, I believe, pictures the activity that's going to take place between the first advent and the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his first coming, which we're going to celebrate here, if you will, in a few weeks, Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. Between his first coming and that second coming that we wait and long for today. And so the activity that goes on in this parable is in type the activity that's going on. So we're talking about things that deal with our day, all right? For our purpose, I want you to focus with me on verse 6. You probably already figured that out, because there was a question that was asked by the householder in verse 6. According to the word we read here, he had made several trips in that same day, come into the marketplace, and every time he came, he found folks standing around doing nothing. All right? Folks standing around doing nothing. Hey, we've got the same problem today in the world of Christianity. The exact same problem. We've got a lot of Christian people standing around doing nothing. Now, wait a minute. The vineyard's still there, all right? The crop is still ready for harvest. The Bible said even back in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fields are white already unto harvest. The vineyard's still there. The harvest is still available for harvest. And multitudes of Christians are doing nothing. Doing nothing. Hey, wait a minute. I'll be honest with you. I don't believe there's a shortage of laborers. You say, well, preacher, the Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he'll send for laborers into his harvest. I know it. But it's not because there's a shortage of laborers. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3, would you? Verse 3 says, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. That was there in about the third hour. Now, remember, the first time he came was earlier. Earlier that day, and he found people standing, and he hired them, and he sent them out. He comes back a few hours later, and there's still some standing around. Look at verse 5, if you will. He went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. It was the same situation. He showed up the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour. It was the same situation. People standing around doing nothing. He hired them, sent them out into the vineyard, and he said, get out there and go to work, and I'll pay you if you go. He comes back in verse 6 at the 11th hour, and guess what? Found others standing idle. And after that trip in the morning, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and he gets there at the 11th hour, we're talking about the fifth time, then we see that question, why stand ye here idle? Why stand ye here idle? That's what I want to preach to you this morning. Listen, the vast majority of God's people are doing nothing for God. doing nothing for God. Now, why? Well, I believe it could be a matter of concern, a matter of caring, if you will. When I was in high school, I tell kids nowadays, that was right after the invention of the light bulb. But when I was a kid in high school, my class, a big group of the folks that were in my class with me, they had a motto, a one-word motto, and you would hear it at different times. Now, that one-word motto was care. But it was said in a very sarcastic manner. Always said in a sarcastic way to let you know that really what it meant was, we don't care. We don't care. Hey, I believe there's far too much of that attitude in the world of believers today. We don't care. We don't care. Hey, we look out and we see the vast multitudes of people. Man, we live here in the Metroplex area. There are people everywhere. Everywhere. If you don't believe there's a lot of them out, go down here to the corner of Denton Highway and 820, and better yet, walk out there on the bridge at about 5:30 on any day. And there's a multitude of people, all right? I mean, they're just people everywhere. But we don't care about those people. We don't really care about other folks. What an indictment on us. You said, why stand you here idle? I believe the reason a lot of people do nothing for God is they don't care. They just absolutely don't care. I don't know, maybe consumed with themselves, their own group or whatever, but we don't care about anybody else. I just care about me, mine. I'm focused on that and everything and a whole deal. Hey, we don't care. So it could be a matter of concern. Not only that, maybe it could be a matter of compassion. Now, compassion is more than just caring and concern. Compassion is a little more than that. Compassion puts you in the picture with the one upon which you have compassion, all right? It puts you in the picture. Who was the president? I think it was Bill Clinton that made the statement, I feel your pain. Now, to be honest with you, I wasn't convinced they felt my pain, all right? I've never been convinced that any politician feels my pain, is as concerned about me as they claim to be, all right? But hey, compassion puts you in there. Compassion is a sympathy for the need or the situation of another coupled with a desire to help. A desire to help. You see, compassion is more than just, well, I feel your pain. I can go around and feel your pain, but that doesn't mean I want to help you. Doesn't mean I want to say, well, hey, what can I do to help? But real compassion is that feeling and that sympathy for the need, the situation that someone else is in, and with an absolute desire, I'll help you. I'll help you as much as I can. Listen, the Bible tells us that compassion makes a difference. That's what the Bible said in Jude 22. Compassion. Others having compassion making a difference. That compassion makes a difference. And it will make a difference because the person who has compassion is not just content to just see it and feel somebody else's pain, but he's determined, I will help. I will help. Compassion. Sometimes my grandkids get out and they fall and stumble, you know, and they, man, the tears just flow and they turn on the spigot. And I'll say, come here, you know. And I'll hold them up and I'll take them. And it's amazing how quick the tears get cut off. Amen. Just get cut off. But they like to see somebody show a little compassion. But you know what? The world's filled with people today who want somebody to have compassion on them. Hey, to understand, to try to understand, hey, I'm with you. I see what's going on. I want to do something to help you. And boy, bless God, if you really have compassion, you'll work to do something about that other person's pain. You'll do something about it. The way you'd do something about it if it's you. if it's you. You remember when you smacked your finger with that hammer? You've never, really, I really feel this way. If you've never done that, you ought to do it. You're just trying, just so you'll understand what it is. I can't help it. I see Brother Pike sitting back there, and I think he's working as a mechanic. He would probably say, well, somebody ought to get out there and have that thing slip and bust your knuckles. Maybe so. I'm not going to do it on purpose, so all right. But man, listen, if you've ever smacked your finger, I think I mentioned before, the time I hit mine the worst was we were building this addition after we bought this building. We were at Terminal Baptist Church in Diamond Hill. We bought this building to move our church here, and we were putting this addition on, the flat roof part in the fellowship hall, and we were putting up sheetrock. And it was one night, and I'm a hammer, and I got a nail in my hand. You know, fancy people nowadays do it with a screw gun. Where's the fun in that, all right? But it had that hammer up there, and I was holding that nail. Man, I whanged it real good, but I didn't hit anything but that finger right there. And, man, there was agony flowed completely through my body, all right? And every part of my body got real sympathetic. Hey, you know what? When you get compassion, just the way I wanted to do something for that finger, you'll want to do something for somebody else. The Bible said, though, why stand you here idle? Maybe it's a matter of concern. Maybe it's a matter of compassion. Maybe it's just a matter of cooperation. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, cooperation with the plan of God. You ever thought to think that God put you here, you're part of His plan? You're part of His plan. God chose to use men to reach the world. Hear that? God chose to use men to reach the world. You know, the rocks could have cried out. The trees could have talked. God could have done it another way. But God chose to use men to reach the world. But I'm amazed at how so many have no desire and no willingness to, and absolutely refuse to have a part in that at all. Just won't get involved. Just won't get involved. I mean, they're not willing to go somewhere and carry a tract and hand out a tract to somebody. They're not willing to get out, knock on the door and say, hey, you know, I'm from, if nothing else, just invite people to church. But to be able to get out and to witness to people. It's a matter of cooperation. We don't want to cooperate with the plan of God. That's God's plan. It's God's plan. Hey, it's God's plan for God's people to give, to help missionaries. By the way, I'll just go tell you, next Sunday we'll have a missionary family with us. You don't want to miss them. They sing and, they preach too, okay? Dad does. So we're going to have a good time with them. They'll be with us next Sunday. But listen, it's all about, what is it? It's a matter of cooperation. We cooperate to get the gospel out. We cooperate to get the gospel out. Listen, we won't cooperate with the plan of God. Hey, we won't cooperate with other people. Can I just say this to you as a local church? There's no way in the world one individual can do everything that's necessary to do. It's absolutely impossible. You cannot do it. Cannot do it. I remember Dad telling, he said, when he was in Georgia starting a church there, Calvary Baptist Church in Vidalia, Georgia, he said, I went there. He said, I'd get up in the morning. I'd go on Sunday morning. I'd go to the radio station. I'd make the radio broadcast. I'd come back, get in the bus, drive the bus around, pick up people for church, bring them to church, get out of the bus, go inside, teach Sunday school, lead the singing, and preach, and then put them in the bus, take them back home. Now, can I explain to you this? He did not do that at 75 years old, all right? And he is young, but I'll tell you, you can't do that by yourself all the time. By the way, you couldn't do today what he did then because it's not safe. It's not safe. You need at least a helper on the bus. You need at least one helper on the bus. You couldn't do it, all right? You couldn't do it. One person can't do it all right? Can't do it all. Now, you notice he never said he took the offering, all right? Somebody else is involved in that. The ushers did that. Hey, it's impossible for one person to do all that's necessary. We have to cooperate. But some people just can't cooperate with others to get the job done. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're afraid, they're worried about who's going to get the credit. Who's going to get the credit? Well, who cares? Who cares? All right. Well, the Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, one plants, one waters, but it's God that gives the increase. But it's a cooperative effort. Cooperative effort. Before the whole COVID junk nailed everything and shut so much down, we'd gather together on Tuesday night, and man, we'd get out, we'd go, and we'd knock doors, we'd witness to people, and do everything we could to get people. You say, well, preacher, where are those people? We didn't get a whole lot of people to come. A lot of times what we were doing, you know what we were doing? We'd plow on the ground. Some cases we were planting the seed. Some cases we were watering what somebody else had done. I don't tell you, it's God that gives the increase. God that gives the increase. The harvest is what's important. The harvest is what's important. What is not important is the name of the harvester. All right? Those of you that sat down to Thanksgiving dinner this last week, when you picked up that green bean casserole, when you stuck your fork into that, did you even think about who harvested those green beans? You didn't even think about who put them in the can you got them out of, all right? You didn't think about the truck driver that delivered. Well, we didn't worry about that. Why? The only thing that mattered was right there, all right? We're not worried about the name of the harvester. Well, listen, I'll tell you this, all right? I'm convinced God can keep track of that. I'm convinced he can keep track of it. Let him handle it. Let him handle it. The householder said, I'll pay you, all right, what's right. I'll pay you what's right. Don't you know he will? Don't you know he will? The problem is it's a matter of cooperation. We don't want to cooperate. We don't want to cooperate with the plan of God. We don't want to cooperate with other people in the church. You know, we'd rather fuss, fight, and squabble. We'd rather say, no, I want the credit. Who cares about who gets the credit? Hey, it could be a matter of concern. It could be a matter of compassion. It could be a matter of cooperation. But you know, it could also be a matter of can't. Can't, the favorite word of so many people. When they're asked to do something, what is their reply? I can't. I can't. I can't do that. Just can't. You know, I can't do it. That seems to be the universal attitude. I can't. I can't maybe because of my schedule. I can't because of my training or my lack of it. I can't because of my ability or my lack of ability. I can't because of my talent or my lack of talent, all right? I can't because of my time. Hey, just go on and on and all. The truth is, I just can't. Yeah, you can. I found out a lot of people can do a lot of things they never thought they could do. A lot of people do a lot of things they never thought they could do. But they had to try. Can I say this to you? I don't believe you can plead a lack of time because there's work to be done at all hours. All hours. In the morning, in this right here, in our passage of Scripture, verse 1, he came in the morning, early in the morning, to hire laborers. Preacher, I'm not a morning person. I'm not a morning person. Good news. Good news. That wasn't the last time. He came at the third hour. Came at the third hour. Now, you'll notice there, would you take your Bible, would you look? I want you to look at what the Scripture says. He went out about third hour and saw others standing idle in the market. Now, he had already hired folks in the early morning. Here's some more. Maybe they were late sleepers. All right, I don't know. They were late sleepers. And he told them, go ye also into the vineyard. What's yours right, I'll give you. Hey, you can't plead the time. Preacher, I just can't be there at that time. Hey, it was later, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, even at the 11th hour. He said, preacher, what are you trying to get across here? I'm trying to get across this to you. It doesn't have to be done at any set hour or any set day. Any day's okay. Now, we would go as a church on Tuesday night, but that didn't mean you couldn't go another time. You go any time. We've asked multitudes, and many of you have helped in passing out packets and putting them on doors and just covering an area. And you did it when you could. And I tell you, that's always the way it is serving God. You do it. The time constraint is no constraint. Because you can do it any time. Doesn't matter what time. And I'll say this. You say, well, you know, I don't have that ability. Wait a minute. I believe work's available for all hands. Big hands, little hands, skilled hands, fumble thumbs, okay? I believe it's there for everybody. There's no question. Notice here. When he came, the householder came to the marketplace and he found them standing idle. Did you see him step out and say, what are your qualifications? There's not a question asked. What is your education? What is your training? No question. I'll be honest with you, most time if you go looking for a job, you got a resume. What is that resume? What's on that? We want to take a look at it. We want to see what experience you've had. Some people have had a whole problem. You said, I don't have any experience because nobody will hire me. If you'll hire me, I'll get some experience. Would you just train me a little bit? I'm willing to work. Hey, there was no constraint there. All that was needed was a willingness to work. That was it. Can I say this to you? When it comes to the Lord's work, God can and will make you able. He'll enable you to do it. He'll enable you to do it. Dr. Gary Coleman pastored Levon Drive Baptist Church in Garland, Texas for years and years. I'll never forget hearing him tell a story about a guy that they had in their church. He was a few bricks shy of the load. And by the way, every church needs people like that.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I'm serious. I'm not making fun. But Brother Coleman's telling about this guy, and he just didn't have it all together, and he'd say things maybe he shouldn't have said. And so he said one Sunday, he looked up, and man, in came this businessman he had invited. And he said, I was excited. Boy, I was really excited he was there. You know, I don't remember now if he's a lawyer, banker, or something, but he just, you know, businessman, kind of a classy kind of fella. And he stood there and he said, man, I preached. And then he said, we gave the invitation. And he said, during the invitation, this guy that was a few bricks shy of a load went over to talk to that man. Brother Coleman thought, he said, right then I thought, oh no, he'll never come back. And sure enough, he just spoke to him a minute, and then he stepped back over. He said, well, that took care of that. Then here, lo and behold, that man steps out, walks down the aisle, got saved. And he talked to him later. You know how, hey, folks, preachers are human. And every now and then we like to hear somebody say, preacher, it was your great preaching that brought conviction to my soul. And Brother Coleman asked this fellow, he said, you know, what was it that happened? And he may be hoping to hear, well, it's what you said there about this. But he said, no. He said, did you see that guy come over to me? And Brother Coleman said, yeah. He said, well, that's what he said. So what did he say? He said, you going to heaven when you die? Or he said, do you want to go to heaven when you die? And that businessman said, no, not right now, I'm not interested. And so here's what the guy said. Go ahead and go to hell then.
Amen.
And he said, that right there shook me and I realized I was in need. Now, I am not suggesting you use those words, all right? But I'm saying to you, don't come around and say, I'm not qualified, I don't have the training, I don't have the talent, God can use anybody.
Amen.
Anybody. Years ago, we ran buses up in Blue Mound and picked up multitudes of kids. Multitudes of kids. There was a young man in Blue Mound that was mentally challenged. Very mentally challenged young man. Well, he would go around and talk to people. And I had a guy that was coming out of Blue Mound on my bus route, out of the bus route in Blue Mound, but he came to my Sunday school class. He was in the teen department. I mean, he had a younger brother, and I did everything I could to get that younger brother to come to church. I never could get him to come. Never could get him to come. And all of a sudden, one Sunday, he showed up. And I thought, well, hallelujah. It's good. And he kept coming. And his older brother came to him. He said, you know why he started coming? I said, no. He said, you know who so-and-so is? And he's that mentally challenged guy that was in Blue Mound. I said, I know who you're talking about. He said, my brother was down at the park swinging, and that guy got to talking to him, and he scared the fire out of him. Hey, I'm just saying to you, God can use anybody. God can use anybody. Now, hey, why stand you here idle? Work's available for all hands. I don't care who it is. Look at verse 7. Here's the excuse. Verse 7, he comes back at the 11th hour, and they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. That was their answer to why stand you here idle. Nobody hired us. Can I ask you this? What happened to volunteering?
Amen.
What happened to volunteering? What happened to just, hey, why does somebody have to come looking and pleading with you to get you to serve God?
Amen.
Why can't you just volunteer? Why can't you just get your hand up and say, I'll do it. I'm willing. I'll volunteer. I'll do it. I'm willing to get involved. I'm willing to go to work. I'm willing to do it. Hey, what's wrong with just volunteering? Very simple thing. Very simple thing. I'll just volunteer. Maybe you sit here and say, well, preacher, I just don't see anything to do. Really? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, or chapter 9, would you? Over in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It's a terrible thing that this book is, or this verse is in the Bible, okay? But it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever, you with me there? Whatsoever thy hand, what's the next word? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Can I say this to you? You'll never find anything if you aren't looking. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people.
Yes, sir.
We're not looking. Because if I look, I'll find it. Yeah. Preacher, I'm not looking for a job. If I look for a job, I'll have to go to work. Yeah. Well, that's what's wrong. We're not looking.
Amen.
We're not looking. We're not willing. The Bible picture is very plain. Here we are. He said, there's the vineyard. The crop is ready to be harvested. And you're standing here idle. Well, I just don't see any work. Well, get out there and look. Get out there and look. You can find something to do. The Lord still takes volunteers. The Lord still takes volunteers. What a good thing. What a good thing. Why stand ye idle? Hey, maybe it's not a matter of concern. Maybe it's not a matter of compassion. Maybe it's not a matter of cooperation with you. Maybe it's not a matter of can. Maybe it's just simply a matter of that construction, that work. Hey, God made men to work.
Amen.
You know what? If you read your Bible, the Bible says 6 days shalt thou labor. 6 days. He said you rest one day. We've got folks here in church working a 5-day work week. We got some working 4-day work week. 4-day work week. That means 4 days on, 3 days off. Now, you say, well, preacher, I work longer hours. Okay. I understand. I'm not arguing with you, but I'm just saying this, all right? Overall, by and large, man doesn't like to work. And I'm convinced in this day and age, we've got more and more people that don't want to work. They just flat out don't want to work. It's easy to be lazy. It's easy to be lazy. I won't be honest. The most aggravating thing about this whole COVID stuff is I want to do some things that I can't do. And I just don't feel like I can do them. And so I find myself sitting when I feel like I ought to be doing something. But there's so many people in this day that just don't want to work. Just don't want to work. Is that your problem? Say, preacher, I understand the fields are white. And I understand the Bible says pray for laborers, but just be honest with you, Lord, I don't want to do anything. I just don't want to work. I'm lazy. Don't want to hit a lick. God help you, all right? God help you. Maybe you're sitting here saying, well, I can't do what I used to do. So you'll do nothing? So you'll do nothing? I can't remember how many times my dad made that statement to me and my brother. I just can't do what I used to do. Okay. Dad, you're 75 years old. We don't expect you to do what you used to do. You're 80 years old. We don't expect you to do what you used to do. And we used to get after him. He'd get out and mow his lawn and mow the whole thing, and then he'd come in and he'd be worthless for 2 days. I don't know how many times I said, Dad, why'd you have to do it all that one day? Well, just mow a little bit one day, do a little the next. No, got to do it all right? But there's many people today that have the attitude that says, well, I can't do what I used to do, so I'll do nothing. Don't you know God knows when your abilities are less? God doesn't expect you, but he still expects us to do something. Hey, there are some things I used to be able to do. When I was a kid, I learned the song, Too Old to Cut the Mustard. All right, when I was young, I had a lot of pep, used to get around, didn't need no help. Now I'm old and getting gray, and people all look at me and say, too old. Too old to cut the mustard anymore. And next verse said, man, I used to could jump a picket fence. But then it says, now I'm lucky if I can jump an inch. I learned that when I was a kid. I'm experiencing it now, all right? I understand the song better. But you know what? Yeah, there's some things I can't do that I used to could do. But it doesn't keep me from doing what I can do. Doesn't keep me from saying, here I am, Lord. Yeah, there's some things I can't do anymore. But boy, I'm going to tell you, what I can do for God, I still want to do them. I believe this, when it's time for the child of God to retire from the work of God, from the work of God, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not upset. Many of you here, you've retired from your job. Wonderful, no problem. But I'm saying when he's ready for you to retire from working for him, he'll come get you. He'll come get you. And until then, let's work. Let's work. Hey, you got a question. Why stand ye here idle? Why are you standing idle? Hey, there's work to be done. There's work to be done. Get involved. Get involved. You say, I don't know what to do. Look! Get in harness, man, and say, I want to work, you know. Hey, the harvest is out there. We need to gather it in. I believe the one thing I understand of all the things going on in the world today, the whole health issue thing, the political scene, everything, the one thing I'm convinced is it tells us the Lord's coming back. Oh, it's just around the corner. Just around the corner. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this is very little time to reach people. You got family members that are lost? You better be doing everything you can to reach them. You got friends. You got neighbors. Hey, just find anybody that's lost that need to be saved. Hey, one of these days that trumpet's going to sound. When it does, we're done. We're done. Can I say this to you? When you get to heaven, you will not be working for the Lord. You're not. You're not. We'll praise him. We'll honor him. You know, all of that. But there won't be. What are you going to do for him? Now you can do it. When you get to heaven, what are you going to do for God? This is the time. This is the time. Oh, I ask you again, why stand ye here idle? Idle. Heavenly Father, help us today. Lord, as we come to the invitation time, would you help us take a look at ourselves? Would you help us just look inward and be honest about it? Lord, if it's a matter of concern, would you give us a concern for people? If it's a matter of compassion, Lord, help us to have the compassion we ought to have on sinners. Lord, if it's a matter of cooperation, would you break our stubborn will and help us to cooperate with you in the plan of God and cooperate with others, Lord, to see people saved. Lord, if it's a matter of can't, help us to realize we can. We can. We can do a lot more than we think. Dear God, if it's a matter of just, I don't want to, I'm lazy, Lord, would you bring conviction? Speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to see the need. Help us to see our part and what we can do. But Lord, help us not to just sit around idle. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, this morning? We sing the invitation hymn this morning. Just as I am without one plea. Look, there's a work to be done, and there's a place for you in that work. There's a place. Maybe you used to, but you slacked off. Would you get back? Would you get back? Preacher, can't do what he used to. Okay, but you can do what you can. Would you do what you can? Would you come this morning? If you, God's speaking to you while we sing. Come on. Come
just,
on.
Just as I am.
Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.